Any addiction is caused by core issues of trying to get out of a feeling state. An acronym, one of the acronyms we use in recovery work is BLAST, being bored, lonely, angry, stressed, or tired. Whenever we're in one of those states, it's uncomfortable, and our brain is trying to get us out of those states. And in particular, those who struggle with very challenging childhood trauma issues, they're in a constant battle to get out of a feeling state. They don't want to remember. They don't want to remember being flooded with certain thoughts and feelings. And some of the experiences that individuals have gone through, it's impossible to try to wrap your head around why an adult would do certain things to children. It's inhumane, incomprehensible. In a wonderful book, very powerful book that helps you understand the depths of what some individuals have gone through who have severe addictions, is by Gabor Mate, In the Realm of the Hungry Ghosts, I believe is the title. It's amazing insights. He spent many years as a doctor working with the hardest addicted clients, you know, with methadone, heroin addiction, and so forth. I myself have spent 7 years in my career in methadone clinics and know the power of opiate addiction, wanting to get out of pain, wanting to get out of a feeling state. So I was talking to one of my clients today, and with her struggles with addiction, and we were talking about this and about the process of healing is, first of all, being able to go back, identify, and validate and bear witness to some of the horrific experiences in childhood, and processing through some of them to the best of our ability using EMDR therapy, ART therapy, accelerated resolution therapy. That's a type of therapy that also accesses eye movements, you know, mimicking REM dream sleep, reaching the subconscious mind, but using active imagination, actually going back and developing, just using your imagination, competing memories, changing the memories of horrible things that have happened in the past. And there is evidence that to the brain doesn't know the difference. So to the brain actually gets the message that this other thing happened. And so there's a competing memory, and there's some relief that seems to happen. But we're not naive enough to think that we can change what has happened in the past. And so, yeah, the memories are still there. But with EMDR therapy, it can resolve some of the deep emotional ties to things. But then, notwithstanding that, as we continue to move forward in life, dealing with challenges and triggers and temptations of all sorts, that promise immediate relief from pain, boredom, loneliness, etc., that we come to this conclusion in recovery work. And this is why recovery is so doggone difficult, because it's learning to make peace with discomfort. It's like we have to embrace discomfort. Amazing book called Embrace Discomfort by Michael Easter. Highly recommend that. And then another book entitled, he wrote, The Comfort Crisis. Love those books. Love the messages in them. And it relates to healing and recovery. It's hard work. You can expect tremendous opposition. But when you learn to have the mindset of embracing discomfort, instead of running from it, we get to have discomfort in our life because it is teaching us. All things, all experiences are here to teach me, and I will learn from them and turn them to my good. And anyway, so as I was visiting with my client today and we were talking about this, I said, see, in order for you to find healing and recovery, you're going to have to learn to sit with these very uncomfortable moments and feel the craving, and every part of you wants that instant relief from that. And it's going to be super challenging and hard, but I'm telling you, you can do it. You can sit with it, put your arm around it, and instead of giving in to the drug of choice, go for a walk. Go for a hike. Go do something else, not to ignore it or deny it, but just to go do something difficult to acknowledge the feelings, but then be moving your body, something called self-efficacy. You got to move, do something to be free. See, trauma has a way, and memories of trauma have a way to keeping us stuck and frozen. And the body holds memories. It holds things in our cells and different parts of our bodies. That's why engaging the physical body in regular, consistent exercise, I believe is so helpful. Moving, constantly moving, feeling your body. Yoga, for example, stretching. I've had experiences where adult survivors of childhood trauma have experienced yoga for the first time. And when they, and it was amazing to me how much stuck energy they were holding in their bodies. And when the stretching started to happen in certain ways, they were flooded with emotions, started crying and weeping. We're going, what's going on? And this individual said, I have no idea, but I'm releasing something. And it's not just a one-time release. It's like your body is saying something and learning from it to keep it moving, to start practicing regular physical activities, whether it's yoga or whatever else works for you, on a consistent basis to lead with your body, keep your body active and physical. And the stages of change, you know, the research on change, there's 5 stages. Pre-contemplation, I don't have a problem. There's contemplation, I think I might have a problem. Then there's preparation and planning, I think I might do something about that problem. And then stage 4 is action. I'm actually starting to implement things. I'm working out on a consistent basis. I'm getting up in the morning and reading recovery material or something positive for 15 minutes. I do certain daily activities. Remember the statement, we do not rise to the level of our goals or dreams or aspirations. We fall to the level of our systems. A system is something you put in place so that you will accomplish what I call small and simple tasks, which I call dailies. Dailies are simple activities that we do that we know that are in our best interests, and we're committed to doing them. And this is where we need to make the signal stronger than the noise. The signal is, I do these things because I know they're in my best interest. I do them freely of my own choice, and I'm committed to them, and I make the signal super strong by reminding myself of it. Noise is all the distractions that will come into play to try to stop you from doing those things. A million different things will come up because it requires effort. And remember, the second prime directive of the limbic system, our survival system, is to avoid anything that's painful. It's almost like we're set up to fail in a way. Unless you learn how the brain works and you take advantage of it and say, nah, I'm going to embrace discomfort rather than run from it. I get to do hard things. And generally speaking, when we do hard things, there is a semblance of a reward. We feel something in the process. And it's not so much the reward at the end of the day, that we're the trophy, so to speak. It's who we become in the process, in the journey, that is the most important thing. Learning to embrace challenge and discomfort, I think, is a mindset we need to adopt. And then the fourth stage is the action stage. And then the fifth stage is maintenance, where you just try to maintain these daily actions. And because we're not perfect, we don't do that perfectly, and we will fall back into one of those other four stages, but we can pull ourselves together quickly. And this, and learning to embrace struggle as part of our journey. I'm reminded of a story I heard years ago. It's always made an impact on me. It always stuck with me. It's like this little boy was walking down the street, and he looked down on the sidewalk and saw what looked like a cocoon, and it was alive, and something was wiggling inside, trying to get out. And the struggle seemed intense. It was very, very arduous to look at. He says, "Oh my gosh, this poor little thing is struggling so much. I think I'm going to try to help it." And so he reached down and kind of tore open the cocoon. And then the butterfly flapped its wings a little bit, got out, stretched its wings, and he watched it for a while. Then the butterfly flew up. And then very soon thereafter came crashing back down, boom, and died. And he was disturbed by this and was talking to a much older and wiser friend a little later. And he says, "I don't understand what happened." And explained what he had did. He tried to help this butterfly come out of his cocoon so it could fly, because it was just like brutally struggling against opposition to get out of the cocoon. And his friend wisely told him, "Well, the butterfly died because you interrupted its journey. You see, the very strength that it needed to fly and sustain life was being developed as it was ripping out of the cocoon. You can't take away that process. So I want to use that as a metaphor. I can't tell you how many people that I believe, that I've told me, believe that God doesn't exist, that God has given up on them, God has betrayed them, God doesn't answer their prayers. And I believe this story is a great metaphor for what's really going on. No, look at creation. I mean, come on, people. Seriously, you think everything was created just like popped into space for whatever reason without an intelligent force organizing things? I just can't wrap my head around that, even though things are so mysterious. But I believe that in the struggle, there is tremendous purpose. There is a tremendous purpose to set worthwhile, personal, meaningful goals. And again, it's not so much the attainment of those goals as it is who we become in the process. Because I remember when I was talking to another client today about the same thing. He's involved in some really heavy issues and trying to resolve things. And but he goes, "But you know what? When this thing is resolved or that, I don't think that's really going to do it." And we talked about this. I know it's who you're becoming in the process, because once this issue is resolved, 100% guarantee you there's going to be an issue tomorrow in a different, that'll take you in a different direction. It's who we become in the process of being able to look at the opportunities as challenges, as opportunities before us day to day. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, rather than trying to run from things. It's how we grow. It's how we become strong. So anyway, I just want to leave you with those thoughts. So if you're feeling abandoned by God, think of that little butterfly trying to get out of the cocoon and God saying to you, I know you're crying for help. I know you want me to rip open this cocoon and get you out, but I've been doing this a long time. I know what I'm doing. And you're going to need strength in your wings to fly, to be able to deal with what's coming down the road. And this process is not going to end. I want the best for you. I expect the best for you. And I know you are capable of managing whatever it is that you're dealing with right now. And again, let's start focusing on embracing challenge, embracing discomfort, and looking for long-term satisfaction instead of instant gratification. The hallmark of emotional intelligence and mental strength is the ability to delay instant gratification. Again, if you've been listening to these podcasts, one of my favorite statements by the Greek general philosopher Thucydides, of all manifestations of power, restraint impresses men the most. You have an amazing day.